This is Open Your Mind Radio on OYMIreland.com, DNSRadio.ning.com and ICRadioNetworks.com.
Hello, and we're back, and we're pleased to say that Dave is back, and we have Vinnie Eastwood from Vinnie Eastwood Show down in New Zealand. Good afternoon, Vinnie. How are you doing?
Oh, mate, it's nice and early. What have you got me up here at 7 a.m. on Easter Monday? So we're live from the future.
Yeah, sorry, we're live from the future. It's 7 a.m. down in New Zealand, so Vinny's just up out of bed. So did you have your coffee, Vinny? Are you woken up yet?
I had an incredibly powerful coffee. I drank so much coffee that I even had to come up with a new word for it. I'm a caffeined.
You're caffeined. Very good. I like that. Well, Vinny, as you know, we have Dave Corso. Dave has kindly come on as a co-host on OIM because Steve's not well at all. He's not too well. He's shaking and I think he has a bit of a cold there. So Dave, last minute thing, I contacted Dave and Dave kindly jumped on board. So you'd say hello to Dave there.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, long time no here, Vinny.
Well, then, you know, that can't be true, Dave, because we've been passing messages back and forth, and you got Bill Wood on my show, man. Thank you for that, by the way.
That was a whale of a show.
Well, see, one of my listeners, who I hang out with sometimes, and we get the guitar and I get a microphone, we just sing and jam and what have you. He said he listened to Bill Wood on Project Camelot, and he said he just hated it. So he begged me, Vinny, please interview Bill Wood so I could actually hear what he wants to say. and so I did, and that's kind of what I do. People come up to me with requests about guests all the time, and I interview them. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. What did we have the other week? Lindsay Williams, Jordan Maxwell, Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice Radio. You know, it's getting pretty wild now.
Well, one
out there, don't you think?
One of the things that I'd say, because it's great having you two guys on. Vinny, you do a lot of interviews down there in New Zealand, and Dave has Wolf Spirit Radio, and he does a lot of interviews. And obviously we do wear a little bit of OAM over here in Europe. What's great is that it's great hooking up and speaking to fellow broadcasters about what's going on, because we can kind of give a general overview of what's going on with all the guests that we've had on and what's going on in their respective countries or in their locations, which is handy. And obviously one of the things that we said we'd do is talk to Dave about the American side, which we still want to do and go in more detail with. But do you want to give us a heads up on New Zealand? Because there's people over here now. In Ireland, really, things are really going bad and people are looking at the emigration has shot up in Ireland. Loads of people leaving. They're either going to Canada or they're either going to Australia. And I know there's people obviously looking at New Zealand as well. And you know they say the grass is always greener. Do you want to give us a heads up? And since the last time you were on the show, is there any other kind of fascist things that have been going on and things we need to know about?
It's a daily thing in New Zealand. It's what's the word for it? It's quite spectacular at the speed at which the government's moving and the stupidity to which the general public kind of reacts to it to such a large degree. And it's because, of course, we don't have any free media in this country, so they'll never know. Like, as far as alternative media goes in New Zealand, it's basically like me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the only one who covers all this New World Order stuff in New Zealand on a radio show and on the YouTube channel and getting across the spectrum. So, and the amount of activists from New Zealand that I have on the show is also quite vast. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and you click on the Kiwi Collaborators button there,
okay,
you'll see a big list of all these New Zealand guests that we've had, and some of it's been absolutely shocking. We've had down in Christchurch, the harp quakes and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of information coming out there. including that there was incidentally, of course, disaster relief ready and waiting in Lyttelton Harbour, 1,000 troops that were in the day for a disaster drill, and 9 US congressmen who were coming down to New Zealand to talk about free trade deals, and we said no, and then they stepped on a plane, and then 2 hours later, Christchurch was hit by a massive quake.
Right,
and
okay.
The head of FEMA was also there, and he stayed behind to
Isn't
coordinate.
Isn't that an incredible coincidence?
That's incredible. Now, the HAARP thing, we've heard different scenarios.
And there is also a HAARP facility not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch. One of my listeners called me up. He says, hey, bro, I know where that place is. And he had a camera, and I said, dude, just, you know, what are you waiting for? Go down there and get some pictures of it. So he did. And took like over 100 photos, uploaded them to the internet. It was the first photos anybody had ever gotten of the HAARP facility here in New Zealand. And it was, there's got these massive antennas, man, they stretch for miles.
Yeah, that's it. And are you pretty sure that, I mean, because we've heard that as well, that HAARP was used because the global elite, I mean, if you look at the kind of Benjamin Fulford stuff, the global elite wanted to kind of retire to New Zealand, and the powers to be down there said, no, you're not coming here. So for want of a, to keep the story short, they used the HAARP technology to kind of, you know, they chucked the toys out of the pram because they weren't happy they were told no. Now, is that your take on it, or what's your take on it?
Well, you know, it's, I usually try to think like a sociopath in these instances, and that usually turns out to be the truth. Now, a sociopath would look at his own personal situation. During a time of great trouble and everything like that, he'd want to go somewhere that's safe and probably remote, where he can be king. So if you go to a place where there's a small population of only 4 million people and a rising poverty rate, and rising amounts of legislation that progressively make everything that you do in your daily life that's worth doing a crime, you think this would be quite a nice place to go. So Peter Jackson has been doing some work in Hollywood and all of that kind of stuff, and now Hollywood's coming to start doing work with New Zealand with Peter Jackson's Weta Workshop, including James Cameron, who just bought a big farm down here. And now he's bought another 10-hectare block right next door as well. Does this, and he's going to come here to live permanently. Now, the question is, does he know something we don't know, or has he just recognized that, you know what, the world sucks, and you know what the best place to live in the world is, and the place where the air is freshest, the food is the cleanest, and it's just nice, and people are friendly, and it's a simpler time. It's kind of like small town life, except it's a country, New Zealand.
Yeah,
right.
Now
you could think that way. That's perfectly reasonable. Many people make that choice, and then of course you got my producer, Mr. Mitch Santel, who got the frack out of the United States, just like millions of other Americans recently. Because he sees what's coming and he doesn't want to be there. And he looked around the world and looked for police state measures or whatever, and he just wanted to come here. And so immigration coming to New Zealand, this is what they do to you. They make you pay a nominal fee up front. You know, it's a bit, but it's not nothing you can't handle. Do medical checks and what have you, all these checks, balances, paperwork, etc. Then they come at you a couple of months later, and they charge you another fee, and it's way more than the first one. But if you don't pay it, you may as well have not paid the first one as well, because you've got to go home.
Yeah.
And then after you've paid that massive fee and gone through all these medical rigors again, for no good reason, really, then you've got to pay another fee on top of that, which is enormous, before you can even think about starting to apply for residency. That's assuming you've got a work permit and all of this other stuff. So it's hard to get in here. And yet, you compare, say, Finland to New Zealand. Finland has about 500 people that it allows to immigrate into its country every year and through its borders. New Zealand, and that's a country of like what, 10, 14 million people? Mm. And New Zealand allows, or a country of 4 million, 50,000 people a year.
Mm.
We have more, I think, Tongans living in New Zealand than are living in Tonga. We have 100,000 Tongans living in New Zealand, and I think not between 80 and 90,000 Tongans living in Tonga.
Wow.
You know, we're a big Pacific hotspot, and we play a crucial role in the Pacific Island areas. We deliver a lot of aid and a lot of programs. So we're in terms of the South Pacific area and Pacific Islands and such like that, we're probably a very significant stake in it. The other thing that people fail to recognize about New Zealand is that it is just like every other major Western nation in the world, other than being set up by Freemasons. It's a very tyrannical system. It's been described as a prime ministerial dictatorship by some, because the prime minister can come in, handpick all his cabinet ministers, do virtually anything he wants, the power of the executive, and pass laws in secret, pass laws hurriedly. Like what they do is they pass laws what they call under urgency. Mm. And this current government has passed close to 50% of its laws, and it's been or some ridiculous amount. I think it's been passing nearly two laws a day, and nearly half of those were passed under urgency. So that whoever was there in Parliament, like maybe about six or seven people or whatever, and I've seen the Parliament television, half the laws that are getting passed, there's bugger all people actually there listening in session to these laws during the discussion periods, when they're all being passed, right?
Yeah,
and including one time I was sitting there, and it's the mandatory livestock and farmer chipping bill. Every animal on farms in New Zealand will have to be chipped so that they can be monitored by GPS. The farmers will also have to be chipped so that they can be monitored too.
Hang on, this is happening.
Why is the justification there? Because out of something like 1,000 road deaths a year, perhaps one, if it's stretching at two of those road deaths per year, are caused when farmers are leading their cows across the road and cars come in and plow into them. So the rationale is we GPS track all the cows and all the farmers 24 hours a day so that we can save those one or two people that might die.
That's ridiculous. But I have a funny feeling that's in the States as well. Dave, can you confirm that? I believe in Texas or something, they're trying to bring that in as well, or they have brought it in.
Yes, they are. They want to chip everything that moves. But one of the things they're finding out about these chips, particularly ones they're putting in dogs and cats, is it's causing cancer.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Well,
yeah, EMF frequencies, that kind of thing. And I've got a little blue shield around my neck, and you can get them from my website. And we've been doing some tests on cows down here, and we found that they've been blocking the EMF frequencies and even, you know, hush do I say, getting a 10% increase in the output of milk. Just by blocking all the EMF radiation that they're being bombarded by. And we're going to get bombarded by it virtually every day. It doesn't matter whether you're driving your car or even if you've got a wristwatch on.
Yeah. Dave?
I have a question for Vinny. Come into my chat room. Are you getting any kind of subtle or off-the-wall pressure from your government because of what you're putting on your radio shows?
No, not specifically. Not at all. You know, we take it easy here in New Zealand. It's like, you want to expose the New World Order. Okay, that's cool, man, just as long as you don't hurt nobody. I take a proactive response when it comes to the government. And so do a lot of other activists I know. For example, one mate, he told me this time the cops were outside his house, you know, just sitting there in their blacked out windows and that kind of thing, right at the end of his driveway, trying to, you know, watch him, intimidate him, that kind of thing, because he's exposing a hell of a lot of corruption in the family court system here. And he makes a couple of cups of tea and brings it up to them, knocks on the door. Hey, boys, you're a bit cold out here sitting in the car, mate. Here, have a cup of tea.
Brilliant.
Oh, my golly. That's absolutely incredible.
But that's great. That's good. Because he's going against what they expect him to do. And that's the reverse psychology.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and also, I was listening to the radio show, the radio last night here when I'm driving in the car. And this lady calls up and she's got a lump on her back and she's sort of real self-conscious about it. And the guy says to her, you know what you need to do? You need to make up a story, okay, about why that lump is on your back. So in case it comes in, because you're tense, they're tense, you need something to break the ice or something, like make a thing. And you can come up with anything. You got a scar on your eye or something like that. Hell, how did that happen? Oh, mate, Bangkok. Stripper fell over and I got a stiletto in the eye.
Any excuse. We got a few people on the chat facility here, Vinny, saying, let me see. Shane, Steve H says, good fertile soil in New Zealand. Vincent, I spend a bit of time in the North Island, would not recommend the Forgotten Highway. Shane says, New Zealand was a test state for the New World Order. Howie says, sounds like the UK. Shane says they had to sell all the state assets to the New World Order back in the 90s.
And we're going through a new round of state asset sales now, and it's causing a huge uproar from the people. Almost as big an uproar as what happened when they said that they wanted to mine our national parks for giant resources, which Jackson Mining, a gold mining company, is partly owned, and a lot of shares attributed to our Prime Minister. And our country is also getting in debt to the Bank of America, most likely. And he also has shares in Bank of America. So what he's doing is he's dictating government policy that is good for his business interest. And it's not just happening once or twice or three times or something like that. It's happening hugely. Like, he's even got a vineyard. And he winds up passing legislation that makes it cheaper to run his vineyard. You know, it's just like every little thing. It's like he might own parking meters or something, and then pass city ordinances to make more parking meters available in rural streets or something like that. You know, like on the side of the road in a country, there will be a bloody parking meter there. And if you park your truck on the side of the road in the middle of freaking nowhere where there's nobody around for like days at a time or something like that, except some guy on a little scooter wearing a uniform writing a ticket out for you.
Yeah,
you know, it can't get people, I don't think, understand the level of tyranny that can exist.
Well, it's
limitless. Well, it is existing, but how bad it can get is absolutely limitless. You know, you really couldn't imagine.
Hello?
This is the world we live in.
Yeah,
you really just simply can't imagine how bad it can get. The reason why you can't imagine that, of course, is because you're not a brutal eugenicist, sociopathic criminal scumbag.
Hmm.
And you're a good, decent person, aren't you?
And while everybody's watching the TV and being distracted by these X Factors and these pop idols and all these soap operas and everything that's on, everybody, it's this sleight of hand distraction technique. And while, you know, I mean, do people actually think that the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are sitting down watching their EastEnders or Carnation Street or their soaps or their pop idol? You know, they're not, people like that don't do things like that. They make these programs to get you to look at them so they can go and do other things.
No, they do actually sit down and watch all this stuff and eat all the junk and all that kind of stuff, man. It's just they get these incredibly bright, scholarly, qualified scumbaggery individuals that they pay exorbitant amounts of money to concoct copious quantities of schemes to accomplish their ends. Go forth and promote eugenics, my son. Here's $10 billion worth of gold and another $5 billion worth of cocaine and $20 billion worth of military arms. Yeah. Go for your life.
Go mad. Right, two questions. Well, one question I'm going to ask to the both of you, and I'll go to Vinny first. Vinny, this is 2012, and we've all kind of probably seen the Benjamin Fulford stuff and all that, the White Dragon Society and all that stuff. Give us, and I'll go over to Dave in a minute, because Dave can give us their take from the American point of view. What's your take on the whole 2012 scenario and the White Dragon Society? Are we going to win? Is it finally going to come down?
Don't know. In a word, I don't know. That's my three favorite words. I don't know. My three least favorite words is I don't care. On the day of the tsunami in Japan, Ben called me and came on the show. I think I was the first person to get him live on the air that day. He told me about White Dragon, and he's saying that the war will soon be over. There's a secret war going on between these two secret societies, the Bush faction and the White Dragon Society, and that the war will soon be over, according to him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but it ain't over till the fat lady sings.
Agreed, yeah.
I don't care who's got schemes, who's got plans. I don't care who's doing what. It ain't over till it's over. And until it is over, I'm not going to stop fighting. I'm not going to stop broadcasting. I'm not going to stand down. And so it makes it irrelevant.
Exactly. We can't make the assumption that that's going on. If it is, fantastic, but we can still do our bit. We still wake people up. We still run the radio show. We just do carry on doing what we're doing until we see.
Well, it's about giving people hope, is all.
Yeah.
It's not possible to fight a war or sustain any amount of casualties in any kind of conflict. And as far as I'm concerned, the truth movement is in full-on war with the New World Order at this point. You know, they're killing our people. They're annihilating everybody. They're attacking us, you know, both in the public and in the private spectrum. You know, they got their trolls, they got everything. So all bets are off, and the gloves have come off.
Yeah.
So let's. Are we allowed to swear on this particular broadcast?
Well, beep beep. It's a family show.
Well, my New Year's Eve resolution is 2012. Time to stop fracking around.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to pass that over to Dave. Dave, your take on the whole 2012 scenario. I mean, just people are talking so much about 2012 and everything that's going to happen. What's your take on it from an American point of view?
Well, it's relatively simple. We're just merely passing through a plane. We end of a 26,000-year cycle, heading into another one. But I had a gentleman named Gerald Whitehorse Standing, who's a Cree elder from Canada. There is I'm going to use the word legend, but there is a story that has been passed down for thousands of years. It says, on December the 23rd, the sun is going to go out for 24 hours. And it's going to come back as a new star. Do I think that there's going to be spaceships come down and rescue millions of people? Nah, ain't going to happen, folks. I don't think there's going to be major changes, but unfortunately it's going to involve a lot of bloodshed. It may start this year, it may start next year. See, even my dogs agree with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, funny enough, I heard this a few years ago. Now I'm going back probably 2004. I was speaking to a guy who was very sensitive, a medium actually, and he was into astronomy. And I actually asked him, I said, what do you think's going to happen? And he said, well, his take on it was that this is what he said, the Earth will stop rotating and we'll have darkness for 3 days. and then the Earth will start rotating in the opposite direction. Now, obviously, he could probably go into more detail of that, but that was his take on it. And I think we have so many people have so many ideas. That's what I find speaking to
Dude, yeah, I cannot wait for the 3-day long rave party.
3 days. I'll have one here.
3 days of darkness. Crack out the glow sticks. Where's the ecstasy? Oh my goodness! Let's go hard.
Let's go mad.
It's 2012, baby. Like you can think of that as like the best New Year's Eve party ever because it lasts for 3 days.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is, we like yourselves.
And afterwards, there would be a desolate wasteland, and the world's beer supply would be exhausted.
Well, you
just
die of alcohol poisoning, I think.
I don't know about that. Just as long as you drink water in between beers, man.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Keep you going. I mean, I don't know. Like yourselves, we have so many guests on the show as well. And everybody has their own take on it. And there's a lot of disinformation out there. And this is the whole annoying thing with disinformation. There's so much of it out there, you don't know what to believe.
Well, see, I've got three takes on 2012. A1, it's either a big psyop, you know? Everybody will just think, oh, it's the end of the world. Why fight against the New World Order? It's all gonna come down anyway. So it makes you stand down.
Yeah.
Number two, it's real. And it's the prophesized return of the destroyer. And the Earth is going to basically, like, split in half, and it's going to be fire and lightning and tidal waves and chaos, and several arcs will be seen floating around somewhere with scared animals on them, you know. Giraffe heads out the portholes. And the other scenario is the Mayan prophecy, which is that essentially nothing's going to happen, and it's just going around in a circle, and we're going to ascend from this current state of being into an even better one, into a golden age.
Well, define ascension.
And people don't need to worry about that.
Define ascension. Are we just going to stand here and, like, beam us up, Scotty? Or
nah.
That's it. But that's the meaning by it of ascension, is that we're going to be in the physical and all of a sudden it's going to change and then we're going to be in the energy field.
Maybe they're talking about a shift in consciousness. Maybe they're talking about a shift in energetic vibration that makes us stop being in existing in just the third and fourth dimensional universes and be able to transition in and out of the material plane so that we can disappear and appear other places. We might get psychic powers or whatever. Who knows? Well, basically, I think of it kind of like if you want to predict the weather, but you've got no way of doing it, the most general way to predict the weather is what was the weather like yesterday? Mm. Right? So what's it like during 2012? Well, look at this, man. I don't care whether or not you think there's a prophecy or something. There's a massive financial crisis on the way, and they're plotting World War III. You don't need no manufactured crises or whatever because this stuff is going to start happening.
Exactly.
You don't need any 20,000 foot tidal waves or comets from Elenin or something like that to be afraid of. Look at what's in your fracking yard.
Mm. We have to deal with what we can see and what we can, you know, what's going on now. I'm not too concerned about the 2012 thing. There was a guy on YouTube, and he has a DVD out, and he said that basically everything we've heard about the Maya is wrong because it wasn't commissioned or approved by the Maya. Now, he lived with them for something like 7 years or 14 years or something. And he said, the 2012 thing, chances are it's going to come and go. Right? It's another day. He said that Don Alejandro, I think, or something, is the head of 400 tribes of the Maya. And he said that that they have a seven-year window. There's a seven-year window between 2007 and 2014. And he said something will happen to the planet, but that's the window from 2007-2014. So, you know, the next day, the 22nd of December, could be like the 21st of December. You know, we don't know. He doesn't know when. They don't know when. They know something will happen, but he said they don't know when it's going to happen, but that's the window. So
Well, then it can't be a celestial thing, because the Mayans have been able to predict every eclipse and what have you for like somewhat 10,000 years. What? Okay, and yet somehow they can't predict to the measure this. It means that it's not a celestial event. There's no body out there that's coming towards us if they can't narrow it down like that.
Yeah, there must be. Well, I think they were they came out of the Yucatan about 450 BC, the Mayans, and if this is not a celestial prediction, then there's obviously something else must be going on. Don't know.
Mm.
What's your take on it, Dave?
Just sitting here thinking.
Okay,
well, it's just a massive psyop as far as I'm concerned, or at least that's how I'm going to play it. You know, all these people talking about I'm gonna turn into magical pixie dust and my pants are going to float down ever so feather like to the floor and I'll go on up to God or whatever. It's just a whole lot of hogwash, man. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, I could turn out to be wrong. Okay, I just don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not concerned about what's happening in a week from now or a month from now or anything like that. I look forward to those things, but what I'm focused on is what I'm doing right now, because that's the only thing I can actually really affect.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what
Thank
we need
you,
to look
Vinny.
At.
Thank you, Vinny. That's said very eloquently. Hmm. If it Let happens, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, I haven't lost anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I live every day quite proudly. I was really happy with what I did yesterday and the day before and the day before, and I'm real happy with what I'm doing right now.
Mm. I do think that we have to focus on, because it's the here and now, it's where we're being affected by, and the way the system in every country is affecting us. So that we have to deal with what we can see, feel, touch, hear, whatever, rather than worry about what's going to happen at the end of the year, because that's not going to... It doesn't matter whether it does or doesn't happen, you know. I think what we have to focus on, and people are living now, as you guys know and probably have been told and are experiencing, on a day-to-day basis. From a financial situation, and just, you know, people are just, you know, at the end of the tether when it comes to the system. Some people have lost their houses. And think our listeners said the couple in America who are living under, a storm drain they were living in, not under a bridge. They were living under a storm drain when he lost his job. And are you seeing that in Vinny over there? More and more people are getting repossessed and kicked out of the houses.
Yep, quite a few.
Mm.
So everything's being repossessed. The 2012, as far as the global elite are concerned, I think this is what Lindsay Williams was talking about, my interpretation. That they're essentially now going to start seizing all remaining private property. They're going to call in all those mortgages, all those loans and everything like that, collapse the economy with this massive derivatives bubble bursts, and everybody will be out of house and home and will have to go live in the Agenda 21 projects in the center of the cities along railroad tracks.
And that's exactly what it is. Agenda 21, they're selling off public roads that have been paid for with public money. They're selling to private corporations to make them toll roads.
Yeah, we're starting to get the toll roads in now. We had our first toll road in New Zealand built not a couple of years ago, and it was a fresh road that was being built. You know, it's a massive thing. Saves you about maybe 20 minute bypass. But what's going to turn into is that massive highway system, and the reason why they're making such huge efforts to manufacture a massive highway system here in New Zealand now is that's also a part of Agenda 21, is to connect the major centres, growth cells, by main major highways, and have no off-ramps. They've started to close off-ramps. You know, you can't get on at the same place as you could once upon a time. Mm. And it's starting to get, I don't know, really annoying, because Auckland is probably the worst city in the world in terms of public transport, okay? Like a bus to work or something will cost you $7. and it'll run like once every hour or something like that. It's absolutely terrible. It's like the least convenient system in the world in the city because it's all spread out. It's not flat or anything, so it's nice and hilly. And everybody needs a car. Like in Auckland, having a car is 100% necessary to get the frack around. If you don't have a car, you're screwed. And it's the same in every single suburb. I mean, there's people who live in the centre of the city, you know, in the central business district that don't have or really even need cars because in order to go to the supermarket, they can just walk it, you know, bring back what they can carry. It's all sweet as. But if at any point they wanted to go see any of their friends anywhere in the city at some point, they can't. Because public transport is so bad that it virtually prohibits the travel of any person who isn't willing to, like, wait around wasting time for goodness knows how long and pay exorbitant rates. Mm. And we had a creative solution come out from a blogger named Cameron Slater, who runs a blog called Whale Oil. And he suggested we've now got the technology for robotic cabs. You know, like Johnny Cab and Total Recall?
That's right,
welcome to Welcome to Agenda 21 cab. And you can just jump in the Agenda 21 cab and it'll take you wherever you want to go. And then the next person who gives it a call, but hey, there's your public transport system.
Mm.
Because then it can just remote pilot itself to pick up the next person.
It's worrying where it's going. I mean, myself and Steve, we live out in the sticks as well over here in Ireland. We've got 4.4 million people. And Ireland can fit into the UK 2.5 times. And in the UK, I think the population's about 68 million. So you can see that we are not a highly, we're not a very big populated country like New Zealand. But we're the same. We live out in the suburbs. And the problem is that we don't really have a transport system. So if you don't have a car, you're stuffed. And this Agenda 21, I don't know much about Agenda 21, but I do know one of the plans was that they want people to move back into the city so they have more control over them.
What do you mean back into the city? We've been urbanizing for hundreds of years now, haven't we?
Well, people have moved out because they can't afford the houses in the cities, you know. So this is what I read. Now, I don't quite understand it, so maybe you could shed some light on it.
Well, cities are growing. I think it's something like with Auckland, they need about 50,000 new houses being built per year. Is a city of 1.4 million people because we have so many people migrating into the Auckland region. And what Agenda 21 plans to do is to have, if I may, just give you a brief overview. Here's currently the state of things. You're capable of traveling around, you know, you're capable of living pretty much anywhere you want as long as you've got the money to buy said property or pay said rent, right?
Yep.
Not anymore. If you're living in a rural area, that'll start to be off limits. First, they're going to start chipping all of the livestock and everything like that so that they can control all the rural areas, rural movement. Then they're going to start chipping the normal populations in the cities. Then you're going to have to start doing away with cash, so you can only pay with cards through your chip. Or just something like that, credit card. So everything's traceable. And, of course, at any point, if you do something that's naughty or what have you, or go out protesting, how dare you, they can just close your accounts. And then you can't do anything, including buy food. Mm. Then you've got the growth cells. So after they've got everybody out of the rural areas and they're dumping poisons into waterways, there's a compound 1080. It was used to poison waterways in Manchuria by the Japanese, and it is now being dumped by the... I think they're spending about 15 or something, some millions of dollars a year, dumping it by helicopter into pristine New Zealand bush, right into water catchment areas, to save us from the deadly possums. And all manner of other things. We have a lot of pesticides all over the place. We're allowed about 1,000 times per sample more than is allowable under EU drinking water standards for Roundup and its derivatives of chemicals, right? So in New Zealand, we're allowed to drink a pesticide soup. We've got the fluoride in there, so you've got the poisoning happening. You've got the de-rural, the anti-rural agenda going on. We also see a whole lot of what I believe, and I'm not sure if I have any evidence to spark this, but what I believe might be manufactured crop failures, where they're releasing these viruses into, say, vines like kiwi fruit or any other sections that are really integral to the kiwi economy. In order to kill them off, and now they bring out new vegetables and seeds and all this sort of stuff, which are new breeds, you know, i.e. GMOs, because these organic stuff, that's just terrible. We can't have that. We've got GMO trials going on as well. So outdoors, rural areas, that will be off limits to all of us. That's going to go back to nature. And it will be the playground of the elite. So they'll be able to cruise in there, you know, hunt some deer or whatever, you know, to their heart's content, have wild sex parties with small altar boys in the backwoods, redwoods, perhaps. Now, in the city life, it'll be everything will be highly surveilled, highly restricted. So you're going to have CCTV cameras everywhere. And also, everything will cost a lot, so you're going to have toll roads everywhere. It's basically the second you walk out your door, you're going to have to be starting to pay for something. Okay? And laws will be highly restrictive, so you will wind up, if you're living a normal life nowadays, you'd be wind up breaking a lot of laws, you know, no spitting, no littering. You have to have this exact color of bin to put your garbage out in. You have to buy these specific plastic bags in order to put your garbage in. If you don't, you get a $50 fine. If you have your garbage bin more than 2 centimeters away from the side of the curb or something like that on trash pickup day, there's a $400 fine, etc. The list goes on. The craziness could not be more insane. It is illegal to hand out leaflets, flyers, DVDs, or material of any kind. It is illegal to have a sign that is sitting on the ground if you're protesting. It can't have a stand. You have to be holding it. It is illegal to use a megaphone in public. If you do not comply with these laws, and this is even at a protest.
Yeah.
A person was handing out leaflets to protesters, and a council guy with a jacket came over and said, "I'm going to have to confiscate those or write you out and write you out a ticket." And he can do that with anything. He comes up and he can confiscate your camera if you're filming at a protest or something like that, if he deems that you're part of the protesters who are illegally against council bylaws handing out leaflets or DVDs.
Yeah.
And this happened to us, right, while we were at a 9/11 truth protest. It's beyond belief. In terms of living standards under Agenda 21, it's pack 'em and stack 'em egg crate community like the projects in the United States for everybody.
Yeah.
You will all be living in high-rise buildings, and you will have security codes and locks and all of that kind of stuff. So only you can come in there. You'll have bugger all privacy. You will have bugger all fresh air because everything's going to be recycled through these massive central air conditioning ducts, which are linked to Legionnaires' disease, because if they're not cleaned out too regularly, they can grow in there. Isn't that lovely?
Well, let me
say, guess who's going to be building all of these buildings? Sustainable developers.
Yeah.
Who are sustainable developers? Oh, they're private contractors.
Yeah.
What's the definition of fascism? It's when the government uses private contractors to do all the work.
Well, let me pick you up on something there.
When the corporation takes over the states.
It just reminds me of two movies come to mind. One, Judge Dredd, where everybody's stacked in these terror blocks, room after room. And obviously the Demolition Man, where when you swear, this little machine, you know, finds you on the spot for swearing. But we only have...
Where do you think they got the ideas for those movies, bro?
Yeah, well, it's the...
There's not that many creative people in Hollywood, I can tell you.
It's the Orwellian society, and we're actually going down that road. So something has to give. I'm just watching the time there. We have about 10 minutes left there. So what I'd like to do is kind of, in the last 10 minutes, between yourself and Dave, round up, you know, what you're doing with your radio show, Vin, and what Dave's doing with his, and what the plans are for the future.
Dave, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can do that, Vinny. Thanks. My radio show is about the truth. What is the truth? Depends upon who you are, where you're standing, what's your research, what's your knowledge, what's your experience been with whatever your truth is. Does that mean that truth is my truth? No. Everyone has a little bit of the truth. That's why I never try to steer my guest, because I ask them, what do you want to talk about? What are your talking points? And then I get questions from the chat room. We get questions on call-ins. You never know where a live radio show is going to go, do you, Vin?
Thankfully.
Right, Ben, what's your plan of attack for your radio show? What's happening?
Well, the thing is, I don't just do radio. I also do video and doing a little bit of blogging here and there. And I'm linking up with other people who are in the media here in New Zealand, newspapers, publications, websites, people who are filmmakers, all that kind of stuff. And the idea is to have a central media platform that's all detachable and modular, so that if somebody's got a radio show like mine, for example, we'll be able to give it to other people to have access, so that they can come on the air and talk about what they want to talk about with the important research that they're covering, and also be able to spread that across a number of different mediums, so that you can saturate the airwaves and people's minds with what you want them to see, what you want them to hear, the truth and the research and the intelligent discourse. And that's kind of the model for my show. I kind of give it up to everybody who wants to come on. I mean, 90% of the guests are suggested by listeners, and the listeners send me their email or contact info from their website or something like that. I'll email that person and have them on. And out of those people that I interview, I'd say probably the majority of them I'd never heard of, spoke to, or even so much as looked at their website before I interview them. So it's right off the cuff, no preparation, because you just come together on the points you agree, and everything works itself out harmoniously from there. There's only two planned questions in my show. Firstly, and this is the best part, because I don't do any research, the first question that I ask them is, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do. And I'm asking from a very genuine place, because I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know? I agree.
If they became cryptic about it, I'd be kind of screwed.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's the question I normally approach with listeners or to guests as well that come on, is to say, well, tell us about, you know, give your background. How did you wake up? What, you know, and what have you been involved in since you woke up? What are you doing? So it's a good kind of intro to get people to know who's coming on and what they've been involved in.
Everybody's got a story, don't they?
Oh, definitely. Well,
everybody. And I absolutely agree with the way you two do it, because that's essentially the way I do it.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well, you know, give the story. Now, somebody here on our chat facility, Crown Copyright, said there's two sides to every story. Well, there's actually three sides, because there'd be your opinion, my opinion, and the truth. That's the way I see it.
Well, when you tell the truth, every time you tell the truth, you offend both sides of every major argument, because both sides of every major argument are always wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's why the police don't like eyewitnesses, because they're unreliable, because what you see and I see could be two different things based on their perception.
But they don't have to worry about that now. They've got drones.
There you go. You know, it's all sorted with drones. All right, guys. Well, listen, I'm going to be finishing up now, but I want you guys to hang around just for a minute, and just one or two announcements just to make. I'd just like to say
Let me make a quick statement.
Yeah, Dave.
Next Saturday, folks, we're going to have the first of many, many United We Win Saturdays. You're going to be part of it, aren't you, Vinny?
Yeah.
Because we're going to have a lot of, throughout the day, we're going to have many host round the campfire round tables so we can talk about what's going on in our respective areas. With, you can bring a guest on, whatever, and we're going to host most of it from right here.
Yeah, and what the OAM's going to be involved in that as well. Definitely, and it's going to be very interesting.
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a voice chat about all this on Skype, Vinny.
Choice. 2 o'clock. Isn't that like 7 o'clock in the morning? 2 o'clock Pacific time. All right, so I think that's like an hour before my show normally starts.
Yeah,
Which reminds me, my show's on tomorrow morning as well here in New Zealand, like 10 a.m. till midday. Goodness knows what kind of guests I'll have on. Which is 5 till 7 Central. That's 3 till 5 Pacific time. So, yeah, you can tune in tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com if you want.
3 to 5 in the morning?
No, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, man.
All right, guys. So, I'm just watching the time, guys. 4 minutes. Dave, give us your website address.
www.wolfspiritradio.com. Come on down if you want to hear the truth from this side of the world.
That's over in America. And Vinny, your website address?
TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood like Clint Eastwood. I'm not related to him, but I am Lucy Lawless's first cousin, Xena Warrior Princess.
That's brilliant, guys. I'd just like to say a big thank you for Dave jumping in last minute for being a co-host. He's doing a great job. Fantastic. Thanks a lot. I've just got a text message from Steve, and he's not feeling well. I'm not going to get graphic about it, but he's not very well. I think he's talking to God on the big white telephone. Let's put it that way. So he's maybe it's a good thing that he didn't come down. Just for next week, guys, for our listeners to let them know that we have Pastor Lindsay Williams coming on. Now, next Sunday, we have Barry Trower, part two of Barry Trower's interview. Barry Trower, as you know, he's been on the show before. He's an expert in microwave warfare, and he worked for the UK government, and he was trained in all this technology. It was a fantastic interview, so we asked him to come back on to do part two. Very good guy, very gentleman, loads of information. But on Friday, this Friday coming, the show will be live. We're going to be live with Pastor Lindsay Williams. So just to let you know, we don't normally do the Friday. We just normally do the Sunday. But we thought it'd be better to run the show live because if people have questions that you want to ask Lindsay, then you can do it over the chat facility. Okay? We will send out an email to all our registered listeners regarding that, just to remind you on Friday. So that's really what's on this week. I'd like to say a big thank you to Vinny coming on board and having a chat with us and letting us know what's going on in New Zealand, and Dave over there in the States telling us what's going on and being a co-host on the show. Much appreciated. If Steve is listening, I don't know what he is. I hope he gets better. And fingers crossed, we'll be probably talking to you or seeing you on Friday, next Friday. Guys, I'd like to say thanks a lot for coming on. If you want to hang around there for a minute, and I'll have a chat with you after the show there. So just bear with us there for a minute. Again, for myself, Alan James. What time Friday? Yeah, the time on Friday will be 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., I reckon. I think we're doing the 8 to 10. But we'll send an email out. If you're not registered, register on OAM, and we'll send an email out and let you know. But I think it's going to be from 8 to 10. But just keep an eye on the website, and there'll be an update on that to let you know. But again, thanks a lot to everybody. Thanks to all the listeners. And thanks to Dave and Vinny for coming on board. And we'll catch you hopefully on Friday. Take care from myself, Alan James. Have a safe week. We'll talk to you soon. Open your mind.